I'm so pleased to be here today as we celebrate Standing on the Side of Love Sunday once again. As our friends in faith, members from your congregation, and many of the congregations in the Denver-Boulder area celebrate the 10th year of this annual September tradition at the Capitol. For the last 9 years, we have been sending members of our congregations across the Front Range to worship and to ask that civil marriage be a civil right for people of all genders and who have partners of all genders, whoever they love. And this year, that is the law of the land. And in every single state in our nation, it is the case that people can and have celebrated same-sex marriage in our UU congregations and congregations of many denominations. We celebrate the victory that these years of committed efforts have wrought. And yet, we continue this tradition of standing on the steps of the Capitol, of asking for equality, because while we have won one fight for equal rights, we have not yet won the right for all people to know that their lives matter, that they will have equal opportunity in our schools, our political systems, their everyday lives. So this year, we come together to say that Black lives matter. After nearly a year of personal involvement with the Denver Freedom Riders, with Ferguson's Black Lives Matter movement, and with protests in remembrance of Tamir Rice in Cleveland and survivors of police torture in Chicago, I was proud in June to stand with people across our nation at the Unitarian Universalist General Assembly, where we committed to act in solidarity with the movement for Black lives wherever we live. Yeah. I was even more pleased when we followed through on that commitment with a local Black-led street protest just outside of the Portland Convention Center that very afternoon, and hundreds of Unitarian Universalist youth and adults stood in solidarity in the street together, encircling a dais in remembrance of Michael Brown, demonstrating our values, practicing taking their direction from movement leaders and being in solidarity. As Unitarian Universalists, we feel in the deepest recesses of our beings that it is wrong that Black people in our country still experience unequal opportunity. From preschools that suspend children of color at 2.5 times the rate of white children in those same schools, to the policing of Black adults as much as 4 times more likely to be killed in the process of arrest or in police custody than their white counterparts. We know it is harder often to find employment and housing, that historical disparities lead to current limitations. The current limitations are amplified by mass incarceration and lead to ongoing financial hardship. We know, in the face of all of this, that we are called by our faith to do something when we see such injustice, that we are called to justice, equity, and compassion in human relations as Unitarian Universalists. We believe that we are interconnected, that when one member of our human family suffers, we all suffer. We are called to right this wrong. And we have been invited to this work by leaders in the Black Lives Matter movement, by leaders in Unitarian Universalism. We have been invited to change our lives, to examine our privileges and our prejudices, to honor our feelings and challenge ourselves, to defy the expectations of the status quo and work actively toward a multicultural community of faith. It is complex work. There is more than simply jumping out of our seats to go do the work of racial justice. The work is harder than getting a Twitter account and talking to the internet about injustice, leaving a trail of 140 character witty sayings and hashtags in our wake. It is harder than telling your friends, your family, that you're giving up racism this year for Lent or your New Year's resolution. Our lives are more complex than that. Racism itself is more complex than that. But there are many ways that we can bring ourselves into that movement and act as people of faith, living out our values. In order to live out our values, we need to learn new ways of not simply opening our eyes to injustice, but seeking it out. For the racial inequalities these days are not in our law books, where we can easily read them, but in the traditions we uphold and the small choices we make in our everyday lives. The new Stapleton neighborhood was not named as a direct choice to honor and celebrate the history of Denver's Mayor Stapleton, who in the 1920s was an active member of the Ku Klux Klan, elected by Klan members who donated over $15,000 to his campaign. Instead, it is a legacy. The history of that name that started with the Stapleton Airport many years ago has simply continued when a neighborhood grew up on that site. Not active hostility toward people of color, but indifference to the legacy of pain, unknowing, not knowing what the meanings of that history are. A friend and fellow activist, Kamau West, stated recently, "Racial indifference is a greater problem than racial hostility. The wild goose chase to find the big bad bigot leads us away from addressing racism as it actually exists. Jim Crow existed because people were indifferent to black life. Mass incarceration exists for the same reason. It is indifference that keeps inequality afloat, not overt hostility. This is why we must say, Black Lives Matter." When we do not see overt racism in our lives and our surroundings, it is easy to become one of those who is indifferent, to put our energies elsewhere where we can see the urgency. Our challenge, then, is to seek out where racism hides, where diversity is. Whether that means choosing different coffee shops to sit in, making a Twitter account to read the daily narratives of Black Lives Matter activists, reading books that challenge our assumptions, or finding friends to attend a protest with, there are many wonderful resources out there. Books written, sermons preached, and statistics gathered, so it is relatively easy to center the experiences and wisdom of people of color as you learn, as you grow. For me, that means prioritizing monthly meetings of showing up for Racial Justice, a white solidarity organization with chapters in both Denver and Boulder. It means finding out what actions are going on in the Black Lives Matter movement wherever I am in my travels and studies. It means knowing that I must deal with my feelings around this work. And for you, that will look different, because you each have different abilities, different interests. As a people of faith, the only limitation is that this cannot look like nothing. And seeking out injustice is not easy. It brings up feelings of anger, often at systems or people who perpetuate that injustice, a sense of grief, of losing our innocence, losing our sense of a just and fair world, and fear that we are not enough, that we will not be able to change this world in the right way. We may do it wrong. We may create hurt. But Anne Braden, a white woman, a racial justice organizer from 1951 until her death in 2006, talked about how the 1960s was the beginning of the road to equality, not the end of racial intolerance. She spoke of how we took the first steps toward admitting that we had a problem, and creativity, she said, burst out in all directions. When we engage from a place of love and accountability, we can be creative. If we turn away from ourselves, our families, and our friends, when we don't have those hard conversations, we shut ourselves off from trust and our mutual capacity to learn and grow. For growth requires breaking through, like a seed that must crack its shell open to reach water and sunlight, like a child suffering growing pains before finally being able to reach the upper shelves of the cabinetry mere weeks later. We are breaking through stereotypes, racial prejudices, the ease of the status quo, our belief in fairness. But we trust that we are growing in compassion and understanding and love and our ability to become a truly multicultural and multiracial community. We trust that when we struggle together, we will love and be loved in return. We will not write each other off as uneducable, for we are none of us lost forever from doing what is right. If we are too busy mourning the passing of this myth of equality, we will not be able to put forth the effort to make that a reality we can celebrate. If we cannot see what is broken, we cannot fix it. So in letting go of this belief, we take off the blinders that keep us from joining in solidarity and becoming open to the beautiful possibility. Rumi speaks to this possibility of opening ourselves and trusting that our feelings come and go, leaving us more ready and able to be present to what comes next. He says, "This being human is a guest house. Every morning a new arrival, a joy, a depression, a meanness, some momentary awareness, comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all. Even if they are a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture, still treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice. Meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whoever comes, because each has been sent as a guide from beyond. So grieve, mourn, be angry as you need to, and know that people around you, there are people around you who would love to talk about your feelings with you and help you find their source, and this conversation will help them grow as well. I went to Ferguson twice following the shooting of Michael Brown, to be in the streets with protesters and provide first aid for those who had the courage to raise their voices and speak out, even though they were repeatedly confronted with tear gas, pepper spray, arrests, and physical violence. When I rode to Ferguson the first time, I went alone in my car, and I did great work there. I connected with local folks in Ferguson. But when I came back, I had fantastic stories which were hard to identify with for people here because they were so far from the experience of their daily lives. But the second time I went to Ferguson, I rode with a group of Denver Freedom Riders together on a bus, people of color, white people, and we talked about so many different things as we drove, everyday things, past organizing, our prejudices and fears, things like dating and how racial stereotypes make it more complex, how difficult it might be to become the parent of a child who does not experience white privilege if you have grown up with it. There were bumps in the road and in the conversation, but we deeply heard each other's experiences, and we shared memories not just of the moments of protest, but of laughing, eating together, blowing paper off of our straws at each other in the cafe, because we are ministers and seminarians and adults. We learned not just about our ideals, but who's good at cooking, who forgot to pack their socks, or wakes up with their hair pretty funny looking. We were whole and complex people, and nothing is more effective at breaking down stereotypes than being together with people to find out about them as individuals and find out how we are affected by our cultural contexts. Complexity defies stereotypes. It helps us to see each other. As we learn now, one thing that we remembered that we were careful of with each other is that people of color are most directly impacted by racism. It is not the place for those of us who are white, we learned, to redefine or attempt to talk over the experiences of people of color, or ask them to hold our feelings about how hard it is to be in solidarity. Because people of color don't have the same option that many of us do to avoid many of the direct negative experiences of racial inequity in our everyday lives. And that is our privilege. It is therefore important to make sure that the eagerness for learning, for helpfulness, for personal growth includes a deep respect for the limits our friends who do not have white privilege may wish to sit with us. And yet, we have many friends who are also learning about their whiteness, who can be with us and give their time for mutual support, benefiting both learners. We are a vast community of learners and givers and shapers of the world who can find ways to acknowledge and hold our feelings while staying in accountable context with this movement for Black lives. For we have been invited to this time of action. Therefore, the dark thought, the shame, the malice, meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whoever comes, because each has been sent as a guide from beyond. So as we learn more and move into this hard work of awakening to the injustice surrounding us, may we be blessed with the strength to grow, the openness to learn, the willingness to make mistakes and to try again and again. May we continue on together, knowing that in order for our own interdependent lives to truly matter, we must also know in the depths of our souls that Black lives matter, and we must seek to make this known.